Hey guys, welcome back to the Spyglass. It's me, Nicola, and it's Aryan.
Hey there.
We're back here with another episode, but today we're going to be talking about the servers and the controversies associated with them. A lot of controversies this week, I know. But anyway, let's jump right in. All right. So one of the big parts of servers, or one of the big news in servers in the past, I guess, 2 years now, is Tubnet. Now, Tubnet, if you guys don't know, was a server that was originally started by Tubbo, and Tubbo, he tried to create his own server, kind of similar to Hypixel, but with different mini games and that kind of stuff. He launched it with a huge amount of developing time, a huge developing team, and he tried to maintain it. Now, there were a huge number of players at the beginning, and they were all playing it, a bunch of YouTubers playing it, a bunch of different stuff happening. It was completely full, right? And then the server just died. Like, people stopped joining the server, and it eventually just died. Now, there's a lot more to the story than some people might think, and Tubbo made a great video about it, talking about everything that went wrong, and all the issues with running a server. But the general gist of it is that there were a lot of problems when he tried to start the server, a lot of problems when he tried to run the server, and people just didn't try to keep joining the server, and it just didn't work out. So that really shows that servers have a high barrier to entry, right? Now, you might have heard that for some other things. Maybe if you took like a class about government or the economy, you would know that for companies, there's a high barrier to entry in some different types of, for example, in utilities, there's a really high barrier to entry to be able to run a utility company. And it's the same thing in servers. It's really hard to beat the giant known as Hypixel, to be able to beat the server in player accounts. Tubbo tried to get a decent amount of consistent player base, and it didn't work. So the problem with Minecraft and servers in general is that you have to have a convincing server that's fun, but always fun. So you have to be able to play it again and again and still be fun. But you have to get other people to play that server too. Because people, when they're going to be launching the game, they might want to join a server like Hypixel, obviously, and they wouldn't want to join Tubnet because Hypixel is just better. So you not only have to be as good at Hypixel, no, you have to beat Hypixel. And that's really, really, really hard to do, especially when you don't have a lot of resources. Now, Tubbo, he was set up so that he had a decent amount of resources, a lot more resources than your average Joe, and he would be able to do really well in creating a server. And he did. He created a really nice server with really nice games. But the problem was that the people just didn't, like, they liked it for a while, but then they just didn't like it, right? Because the thing is that some games were repetitive. Some games were new, but some games were just basically the same as other Hypixel games, which you could just get on Hypixel, and arguably you could play them for better. And Tubbo really, I mean, he tried and he failed, and other people obviously have tried and they've failed. And, you know, it really shows that the servers, it's really difficult to be able to, again, make that convincing servers for other people to play. And now there are obviously some successful servers. One of them is Hoplite, for example. Hoplite is a UHC style server, which is ultra hardcore, which is basically just a game mode where you're placed with 60 other players in an arena, kind of like Fortnite, and you have to gather resources like a normal survival game, and then you have to fight it out until you're the only one left. The border closes, and you're eventually stuck in a 1v1 where you have to just try to kill the person, kill everybody, and be the last one standing. Now, this server was started a couple months ago, but it's still going strong. You still have lobbies that get full in like 2 minutes with 60 people, which is kind of surprising, considering that, again, it was created a couple months ago. Now, people are sweating it. A lot of people are playing the game. A lot of people are trying their best in the game, and it's definitely shown. And it really shows that the high barrier to entry isn't applicable if you can have a game style that stands out. There haven't been that many UHC style servers. Now, obviously, there were back in the day, but now the game has changed. There's new stuff, right? Hoplite decided to try at it again, and it worked. People are still playing it. People are still playing the game. Now, it's definitely difficult to play the game, to be able to stand, to be good at the game, rather, because you have to be really good at all parts of the game, not just one part of the game, as in Hypixel, where you would just have to be good at, I guess, PvP or bridging or something like that. While in Hoplite, you have to be good at everything related to survival Minecraft. So yeah, it really shows that Hoplite is, you know, kind of like in its own world, which is what you need to be able to succeed as a server and to be able to get that, you know, that additional server like success and to be able to continue doing that, which Tubnet did not have to be able to succeed. Again, if you want to check out the Tubbo video, you can go check it out to learn more. Now, another type style of server that does succeed is SMPs, right? SMPs are survival multiplayers, multiplayer games. And basically what SMPs are is you just play the game. You play it with your friends, you have fun, or you might play it alone and be playing against people. I don't know. It just depends on what you want to do and what your style is. And then you can join. You can play a game with your friends. You can play a game with strangers. You can play a game with anybody, really. And you can just have fun, or you can compete. There's really no limit, which is, it's really the peak of Minecraft. And it really shows the special part about Minecraft, where you're able to collaborate to make your own stuff. SMPs do have their downsides. For example, there is hacking. People do hack, and that really does ruin the game. It's present in all servers, but for example, the server 2B2T is as FitMC would say, the oldest anarchy server in Minecraft, where there are no rules and you can just hack as much as you want. And people use, for example, hacks like Baritone, which allow you to which controls your character. And basically just, yeah, it controls your character. Or you can have auto clicker or stuff like that. Or you can, like, there's a lot of hacks. It's, you know, it's an anarchy server. It's what you would expect. Now, this server is fun for some people. Some people do join. But they're, like, again, you have to be willing to hack and willing to, you know, be immoral to succeed in the server. For example, the spawn is completely destroyed. A lot of people get spawn trapped. A lot of people get trapped in nether portals, you know, and with obsidian around them at the beginning of the game. And it's really a difficult place to be. But some people, like I said, they like the game and they like to play the game. And it's definitely something that appeals to some people. But yeah, SMPs in general are definitely the peak of servers and what Minecraft really intended to be of servers. Now, gameplay development is a part of servers, but SMPs are really the core game and what happens in the game. I guess I'll pass it off to you, Aryan.
Yeah, so that's a really great like spiel about SMPs, Tubnet, and Hoplite. I mean, I agree definitely. Like Tubnet was a pretty good server, but the reason why it failed is it just didn't become relevant for other people. That's why it failed. And also about SMPs, I mean, SMPs are great. You can play with friends, but I feel like they do get boring for a while. Especially we'll talk about like a bit about Dream SMP and like QSMP and other SMPs later on in this episode. But now I want to get on specifically to the next topic, which is Hypixel. So Hypixel has, like Nicholas mentioned it like so many times, we've probably like talked about it like a billion times in this podcast. Because it is kind of like the giant out of all the servers. It's kind of like the most famous server. There's always like tens of thousands of people online in the server all the time. And it's kind of like the server where everyone goes to play. People only play Minecraft for this one server called Hypixel. There's streamers that stream there. There's all these like people that play all these different games, mini games, Skyblock, PvP, or just like walking around lobbies and playing hide and seek around lobbies. Like, that's how crazy Hypixel is. Like, people play on it so much, it's kind of insane. Just like going up to Hypixel and seeing there's like 50,000 people online, just like 50,000 people are playing the same thing you're playing, Minecraft, Hypixel. And just become like such a big part of Minecraft, where like Hypixel literally has become Minecraft itself. Some people associate Minecraft with Hypixel because all they do on Hypixel, all they do on Minecraft is play Hypixel. And it's kind of just become like a really big part of the game. Some brief for people who don't know like what Hypixel is, it's kind of like a mini game server with a lot of different games. You can play with friends, you can play by yourself, lobbies instantly queue because again there's tens of thousands of people playing Hypixel. There's Hypixel Skyblock, which is probably the most famous game. Again, only in that there's like tens of thousands of people in the game. And it is kind of addictive. People play a lot. And that might also be like a reason why people are interested in Hypixel is because of Skyblock. Because Skyblock is incredibly addictive. You always want to get better stuff. You always want to do better in the game and get better resources. And that's what people continuously play because they only come for Skyblock. But also there are also like a majority of players also go to other games. There's Bed Wars. Hypixel Bed Wars are probably like the best Bed Wars type game in all the servers. And I'll go more into like Bed Wars later on. But in general, Hypixel has kind of become like the it's kind of like the only reason you play Minecraft is some people only play Minecraft to play Hypixel because there's so much stuff to do. It never gets boring, things like that. And obviously, like there is a limit to how much you can play Hypixel. After a while, you played all the games, or it's like the games get boring eventually. Everything gets boring eventually, but Hypixel just has so much stuff. I'm pretty sure like the founder of Hypixel pays, I think, hundreds of thousands of dollars every week, just to keep the servers running, because the servers have to be able to host like sometimes 100,000 players. So they have like incredible amount of funding. They're managed by a company, and it's just like such an insane game. But it does also have its downfalls. If you don't know, there was a DDoS attack, I think about a year now. I don't know the exact dates, but in like a DDoS attack is it's called like I'm not gonna go into it in depth, but it's called a distributed denial of service, where a bunch of people just try to overload the server continuously with repetitive commands to kind of just like freeze the server. Just kind of like a simplified explanation of what a DDoS is. In this case, multiple people work together to stop the server. And what it does is it kind of like overloads the connection with either like bot signals or a bunch of requests, which makes other people not able to play the server. So in fact, Hypixel was down for like kind of a long amount of time, which usually it's not down for this long amount of time. Because like being like it being down for more than like I would say even 10 minutes kind of affects the whole thing, because people who play at Skyblock, they're doing this deal at like 8 o'clock, and Hypixel goes down for 10 minutes at 8 o'clock. They can't do some deal, and they cry about it. So it is kind of like a pretty big thing of Hypixel, where so many people play, they can't play anymore because of a DDoS attack. So Hypixel does have its kind of like limits. I mean, you can't have like 100,000 people on it without there being some sort of lag. But ultimately, Hypixel is kind of like the main server. Like, I mean, it is also 1.8 PvP basically. But it is kind of like so much stuff. There's all these mods, resource packs, and it's just like an incredible server. I recommend if you haven't gone to it already. You can play with your friends. You can play so many different things on it. But now I want to go more into children servers. And to clarify, like, I call it children servers because these servers are stuff that comes from other people, like parent servers. So if you think of Hypixel as kind of like the big daddy, he's like the parent server, and then you have other servers that kind of originate from the main idea of the parent server of the Hypixel server, and there come servers like Bed Wars Practice, call these like children servers, where these servers are kind of like based off of the big daddy server. And these servers kind of like, it's not really like ripping off the idea, but kind of like gets like a certain aspect of the game from the daddy server and then expands on it to give more functionality. So I mentioned before that the big daddy server Hypixel has a game called Bed Wars. And this Bed Wars game is kind of a bit simple, where you have like different beds. And as you know, like people when they die in Minecraft can spawn from these beds. And you have teams, solos, duels, all these different type of things, where you spawn with the bed. If you d and you're usually above some sort of void. There's no ground unless you're like in some certain like special mode, like voidless, where if you just walk off like 20 blocks to the right or left, you fall into the void and die. So and if you die, yes, you do respawn if you have a bed, like if you still have a bed, but you have to like get resources, bridge across islands, try to not die, and the whole point is to break the opponent team's bed and then kill them. So again, if you kill them without breaking their bed, they just respawn. But you want to like get to your bed first, break the bed, and then kill them to win the game. I mean, it's a really good concept. Whoever invented it is kind of a genius, and it is played widely. But this server, this children server that originated from the Big Daddy server, Hypixel, is called Bed Wars Practice, and just one of the many example servers of children servers, where these servers kind of build on the Bed Wars idea by offering a training environment for Bed Wars. Because Bed Wars is above the void, where if you fall in, you die. But how do you get across to other islands in the sky? You use bridging, where you place like blocks in a row to bridge. I'm sure everyone knows what bridging is, where you just place blocks continuously to go from island to island over the void to actually get resources and actually get to the opponent team, break their bed or fight them, or in general, like you can do anything, but you have to bridge first. And bridging is kind of slow if you do it normally, where you shift, you walk to the side, place a block, you keep on shifting, walk to the side, place a block. But there are also techniques like shift clicking, where you like shift, place a block, stop shifting, then right before you're about to fall, click shift to go to the edge and then place a block, and that continuously. There's other methods of like God bridging, where you just bridge somehow in such a fast way that you're bridging at the speed where you normally walk, which is kind of crazy to me. Just like that's kind of crazy. But there are servers for, yeah, ni like ninja bridging, Weebly bridging, or other types of god bridging. It's just like you're bridging the same speed as you walk, or very similar, which is really fast. Tele bridging, all these different types of things, Andromeda bridging, you might have heard of them. But in general, these bridging types are, it's kind of like whoever can bridge the fastest can either get to the opponent's bed or get to the middle islands, which have lots of resources. So whoever can bridge first kind of has an advantage and usually wins. So these like children servers have these practicing areas for either bridging or PvP or other types of games like Enderpearl, clutching, knockback, sticking, all these different types of details in Bed Wars, and enables users to practice these details to get better at the game without actually playing the game. It's kind of like to practice certain parts, certain aspects of Bed Wars without actually playing Bed Wars. Yeah, so yeah, basically like the children servers, like the kids servers, help you practice help you practice Bed Wars in the where you'll actually play Bed Wars in the daddy server. So like for example, Bed Wars server, the kids server, helps you practice bridging and clutching and all these things. But you don't actually play Bed Wars in the Bed Wars practice server. You go back to the daddy server, Hypixel, and you play Bed Wars in the big daddy server, the big parent server, like the big server where you actually play Bed Wars. Yeah, okay, so that's all about like children servers, daddy servers. It's kind of a bit weird, but now I'll go into the highly controversial pay to win. So pay to win, it has always been a thing in all games. There's pay to win, free to play. Free to play. So first, I go to pay to win. Pay to win is you play. I mean, you pay money in a game to get an advantage in the game. This can mean like you pay for like not cosmetics, but for like upgrades. Like if you're playing like a shooting game and you pay real life money, real dollars or whatever currency, like any currency, for like a better gun, for example, or like a better sword. You pay money to the actual the person who like made the game, to the developers, where they get money and they just like click one button and give you a better weapon. So it's kind of like you're paying real world money, either money your parents like did work for or you did work for. You're paying that money on a game where you get fictional stuff. I mean, it does sound like kind of like why would you pay money on a game where you probably won't play the game in like 10 years and you're wasting your money. But if you're really interested in the game and you like you have nothing else to do, This game is like kind of like your whole life. You spend like a lot of time on it. Then paying money like actually does make kind of sense. I mean, like a lot of people, like most gamers have paid money either to get a game, to upgrade their computer, to get a computer, or inside a game, like in-game purchases. Now, pay to win specifically is you purchase not for cosmetics or not to look slightly better, but only for the purpose of getting better. Like you get an advantage over other people. And these servers are pay to win because you can only win in the game if you pay money. So if you're like free to play where you don't pay money, you haven't spent a single dime on the server, and you're against someone who's pay to win where they spend money on the server, then if you guys are both at the same skill level, or even if you as a FTP, the free to play on the free to play player is slightly better than the pay to win player, the pay to win player will still win because they have better gear or any like anything like better materials, better at everything than you since they spent money on the game. So there's some servers I can think of where like some servers are like crate servers, even Hoplite, which you talked about. You can buy crates. Crates give you like armor and stuff, and that armor can help you defeat other people. They give you either buffs to your health or armor buffs, strength buffs, all these type of things where you can like either buy crates or buy some sort of things like Hoplite Lover Fella. And in these things, you can actually get an advantage over other players by paying. And obviously, there are some like servers like Hypixel, which do have this, it's kind of pay to win, where you can pay money, but it's not winning. You pay money, but you don't really win, because it's kind of like cosmetics. Where in this case, there's ranks in Hypixel, like there's VIP, VIP Plus, there's MVP, MVP Plus, MVP Plus Plus, where for VIP, VIP Plus, MVP, MVP Plus, you can pay like a one-time fee and get a rank overhead. This rank is not directly like impacting your game, but you do have access to private games. You have access to creating like a guild. You have access to different things where it doesn't really affect the game itself, but you can get cosmetics. It's kind of like these not really game affecting like items, but items that make you look cooler, or you can fly if you have VIP Plus. You can get different cosmetics for free if you get MVP Plus. And VIP. Also there's also the MVP Plus Plus, where in this case it's like a monthly or yearly fee, and if you pay that monthly fee, then you have like a bunch of things. You can create like a private lobby. You can do all these type of things. But in general, like Hypixel itself is not pay to win, I would say, since you can pay money for these ranks that do give you like cosmetics, and with the VIP you can fly and all these different type of things. But they don't really affect like the game entirely. You don't get better at PvP. You don't get better swords if you have a rank in Hypixel. But definitely on other servers, there are some pay to win aspects. So now let's shift more away from servers and more how servers are used in YouTube. Specifically, there's the Lifesteal server, the Dream SMP, and there's other like copies of these like SMP type Lifesteal type servers that. It's kind of like the biggest content machine right now for YouTube, where most videos you see on YouTube are usually on some sort of server where there's some sort of like secret twist, like in Lifesteal. Even though normal Lifesteal, whenever you kill someone, you get a permanent heart from them, and they lose a permanent heart. So it's kind of like the more you kill, the more hearts you get, and the more stronger you are. So it's kind of like this unique idea. You have hearts. Hearts are kind of like they're much, much better than Netherite. They're the rarest currency because hearts make you literally stronger at the game. So there's kind of like these different aspects. Now I'll hand it back to you, Nicola, to talk about Lifesteal, Dream SMP, and how these servers on like YouTube and other content platforms are affecting how Minecraft is generally.
YouTube is definitely an outlet for a lot of creators to be able to post their content. For example, there's a lot of creators on Hypixel that are creating Hypixel content and stuff like that. But then there's definitely those, like you were talking about, the custom servers like Lifesteal and Dream SMP that are allowing creators to create their own kind of servers with their own kind of rules and stuff like that. And like you were talking about, Lifesteal allows you to create was a completely different twist, adds a completely different twist to the game, creating that kind of stuff. And then we also see the copies of the Lifesteal SMP that, well, not really copies, but they use the idea of adding a slight twist to the game and creating an SMP based off of that. Now, the thing that most people don't, well, people do talk about this, but most people don't notice, is that the reason why Lifesteal is so popular isn't really because of the twist, isn't really because of the hearts of all of that. It's because of the story. The people who the YouTubers who the YouTubers who run the Lifesteal SMP, they're such good storytellers that they are able to make you invested in a block game. Now, the people who don't watch Minecraft would find that stupid, and it really shows how powerful these creators are. They're able to weave a story around something that you wouldn't think would have a story in the first place. And they're able to do that to create different narratives, different lore, different stuff like that to make a story. And that's how they become successful. You can make your own server to have fun with your friends with its own twist and stuff like that. But the reason why the Lifesteal SMP is successful is because of their storytelling and stuff like that. The same goes for the Dream SMP. The Dream SMP is a server with Dream and his friends, for example, Tommy in it, or Tubbo, or Wilbur. I don't know if Wilbur still plays, but it was an SMP with a bunch of these different YouTubers that was running for a while, and then I think it ended for a bit. It's on hiatus right now, or maybe it's still going. I don't know. I don't really keep track with the Dream SMP lore, but basically, it's a server that runs with a bunch of different YouTubers that are able to come together to create a story together and weave that story. There have been a bunch of different arcs, a bunch of different stories that were around this. For example, there was a story with the Dream being in prison and stuff like that. There were a lot of different stories with Schlatt becoming president and then dying. But you would definitely have to go watch the videos to see that. For example, Technoblade was one of the was a great storyteller in this server and was one of the people who really brought the most amount of people to the server. And he was a huge part in writing that story, creating the story. And it really showed a lot of emotion and stuff like that in the story. Really showing that the people who wrote, for example, Wilbur wrote some of the storyline behind the Dream SMP. They were really good storytellers. They were able to really weave a really nice story behind all of that. And then people were able to post it on YouTube and to be able to enjoy it. It's really a different style of content using servers, a different style of server in itself than you would see normally. It's really a role play or and stuff like that where you're able to find a story in something that you would never have expected to find a story. And it, I mean, there's definitely a lot of different aspects to that too. Like most YouTube videos, they don't really have stories, but you don't really see them becoming as successful as the Dream SMP or the Lifesteal SMP did. You see, for example, the Q the you've you see a bunch of different YouTubers trying to make their own spin-offs, but again, they don't have that storyline of that. But then you also have other servers like the QSMP or that have the twist with the QSMP is that it has basically translation and where you can have multilingual people playing in the game and allows a lot of different speakers from a lot of different countries to unite together to be able to play the game, which shows the power that the game has in uniting people together to play the game. It's really interesting that the game has so many different aspects to it and so many different abilities to be able to do so many different things that we've talked about today. I don't know if you have anything to add on to that, are you?
Yeah, I feel like it kind of becomes such a big part of our lives with like YouTube. I mean, everyone uses YouTube. YouTube is like everyone watches YouTube. Everyone watches Minecraft. But in general, SMPs have become like a big content machine where people can just generate so much content for like Minecraft in general, which is just SMP topics. Do you want to go more into like Dream SMP, like what happened to it, like the current state, and like why it either failed or why it succeeded?
Yeah, for sure. Well, what happened was that the Dream SMP went on a bunch of different arcs, a bunch of different lore in the game. It had a bunch of different like storylines to it, and you see the game, the people in the game create different lines of story and different types of like I said, different types of arcs. I already said that, but where you see you can see Tommy in it, who had his own arc. With the discs and all of that with Dream, and then you had Technoblade who had his own storyline with all of that. But then unfortunately in 2022, I think it was, Technoblade unfortunately passed away, which really was a huge blow to the server because he was one of the, like I said, one of the big, YouTubers of the server, one of the people who was consistently streaming the server and that kind of stuff. And it was really unfortunate to see him pass away. But that was definitely one of the huge blows to the Dream SMP, and they tried to restart the server again, where the server would start without Technoblade. But people, for example, Philza didn't want to have a storyline where people. I think the storyline was that they would forget what happened, and people didn't wa like really like that. For example, Philza said he didn't want to do that because Technoblade was one of his big friends, and he didn't really want to forget that kind of stuff and not be able to remember what had happened and talk about that on stream because it would be important to the lore. So the Dream SMP didn't really continue, and that's why it died out. But the Lifesteal SMP, it has gone on for several seasons, and it has kept restarting after they saw it go too far into the lifespan. And they decided to restart it just to make sure that people would start fresh and have new different types of arcs and lore and stuff like that. Another important YouTube server that I forgot to mention before is Hermitcraft, which has a bunch of different YouTubers, a bunch of different YouTubers that come together to create their own stuff. You have a lot of technical YouTubers, you have a lot of builders and stuff like that that could just come together to be able to, yeah, just experience the server together. Yeah, and I think that's really a good coverage of servers and what's been going on in that side of Minecraft. I don't know if you have anything to add, Aryan, but otherwise I think we can just wrap this episode up.
Yeah, I mean, today we talked about a ton of things, mostly about servers. We talked about Hypixel, Hoplite, the high barriers to entry in Tubnet, the Daddy and Chojin servers, like Bedwars practice servers like PvP Legacy. It's just like the whole purpose is to practice. There's also pay to win servers where you pay and you win, and also YouTube content and all these like Lifesteal, Dream SMP, and all these other SMPs that generate a lot of content, like revenue for Minecraft and gathering new players, but also getting people like getting the Minecraft player to like stick to Minecraft and keep playing Minecraft and keep Minecraft alive. So that's all for today. Thank you guys for watching, and we'll catch you guys next time.
Bye.